excited to welcome you all, whether you're whether you're listening to the archive, or you're on the phone, or you're listening on the internet. We're glad to have you all with us. This is going to be a very special edition of the show. While Bill had a guest lined up who had to back out for the very good reason that his wife's having contractions as they're expecting their first child. And I posted at first on Facebook that tonight would be open to any subject. So if any of you came with something on your mind that you want to talk about, just press 1 and we'll let Wild Bill know that you're ready to talk. But we didn't just leave it without a theme because our mother, Sister Bobby Lively, in Mississippi, is on the line. And she was scheduled for next week to talk about a subject that's been near and dear to her heart for some time now, which is the people. Even though she studied it extensively, she doesn't really want to be called an expert, but I consider her an expert on the subject. While Bill and I appreciate the fact that in season and out of season, children at a moment's notice, and I know she's got a lot of interesting things to talk about. But first things first, let's find out what's up with Wild Bill. All right, Bill.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
I can hear the song. Oh, there it went.
This was the first attempt we had to have intro music, and it
did
was
it work?
Coming out a little bit louder than you. But it was
okay.
So we kind of know what the volume levels need to be set now. But, you know, Lee Stevens was going to be with us today to do our show, and we had this really set up to try to help him out and help us too to kind of share this economy thing is something that has really everybody, you know, really shook up. But when talking to him, the people that have money are investing big time right now, and they're making bukus of money, you know, off some of the investments. And so he was wanting to share some of the directions. He couldn't give specific information, but anybody that's wanting to call him, if you'd like to give out his cell phone number, it's area code 615, the number is 604-4588. And this is Lee Stevens' personal cell phone number. And he can help you with anything from life insurance to college investment funds to just all kinds of things. And he can also let you know which area of the markets you might want to look at and which area of the market that you need to kind of stay away from right now. He's working for a huge company with Edward Jones, which does a lot of research into everything. And if there's anybody who knows a little bit of the inside scoop, it's those people. And this is who the people that have money and investment portfolios, this is who they use. So anyone that wants to, we'd appreciate if you give him a call. And with a new baby on the way, you know how that is, first child, new expenses and everything. It's going to be a totally new eye-opening experience for him. And
let him wait 18 years and see how much fun it is. Sorry, go ahead.
All right, don't go there. But anyway, yeah, we've asked Bobby Lively, which she's supposed to come out next week, and we're going to go into kind of an in-depth thing on some of the stuff with Jewish history. And what really set that off for me was I was in a Walmart store the other day, which, by the way, I hate to interrupt my own thought, but is it a bad sign when your GPS tells you to turn right and you see airplanes coming at you?
I'd at least sometimes hesitate
you gotta
recalculate.
Yeah, sometimes you got to be a little smarter than the GPS. When you see yourself pulling onto a road that says runway and you see these lights and airplanes coming in, you're like, I don't think that's where I need to turn. But anyway, back at the ranch, I was in Walmart, and they were showing previews on some of their television screens in the back for upcoming movies or something. And one of the movies that they were showing was Defiance, and it really just jumped out at me. The intro they had for it and everything based on a true story had to do with the Jews during the early 40s, which we know was during Hitler's reign of terror against the Jews and everybody else in the world. And so I went ahead and I got this DVD, and it really, really touched my heart because we're a visual people. You know, I can read things and I can feel emotion, but when somehow or another they take it and put it before you as pictures, and it's based on a true story, sometimes it opens your eyes. You can have knowledge of something, like I have knowledge of the Holocaust, and I have knowledge of, you know, what the Jews went through, and I have a Bible knowledge of some things about Jewish history. But sometimes we don't really put it in perspective, the big picture. And that's what that topic did for me, and it set so much of a large range of information you can put on there, it's probably a good thing to kind of do an intro to it today. And also, if anybody else has anything they want to say about any of our previous shows, now would be a good time to do this at the start while we're getting started here. And we're going to kind of just open the door a little bit to this topic, and we welcome anyone's comments. Mom says, and I hope she don't mind me calling her mom, I put on the thing for next week how she's highly qualified and how I feel blessed to know her and everything, and then towards the bottom I put on there she was my mother. had to kind of give that away at the end, but I mean, she's been involved in teaching in Christian schools. She's been involved in the mission field. She's been blessed to have brought hundreds of people into the God's church, which I don't mean any specific church, but I mean into the kingdom. And she's been a real inspiration to me at times. When I was telling someone the other day, I was calling mom and I was having a real bad problem. I was really down and out. And she said, well, let's just pray right now. And I mean, she really got into her prayer. I mean, she really got into spirit. She really got into it. And all of a sudden I heard this in the background. I heard, Tucker needed on aisle three. And I was like, mom, where are you at? And she was at Walmart, but she didn't let that hinder her for, you know, my need at the time. She knew I needed a spiritual touch and a breakthrough. So
I had exactly that same thing happen today. I called her and I said, put me on your prayer list, and she said, prayer list, schmear list, and just went right into the spirit realm right there. And I think she was at the place getting her car fixed. She got somebody joined in with her.
So I guess right now we're going to go ahead and kind of turn this off over to mom. I kind of mentioned she might want to start off with a little bit of a testimony, and I told her just wherever she wanted to go with it. We got a big kick out of it. She's like, which testimony are you talking about? And I'm like, well, your testimony. But when you've lived several years for God, you have so many different aspects of things to share with people. I understand exactly what she means. So without further ado, Bobby Lively's coming to us from Florence, Mississippi. It's all you, mom.
I'm sorry. I think you're going to have a tiny bit more further ado because my computer is being stuck. And I've got it poised to bring her on, but it won't go away from the little hourglass. Do you have another testimony, Wild Bill? Everybody pray for me to get a new computer.
One of the things I was really thinking about that we wouldn't be a bad thing to do is for talking about prayer, having your first child and everything that goes along with it with this economy. This young man, you know, he took a bold step to do the job he's doing with Edward Jones. He quit another job to do this. And why don't we just take a moment and just say a prayer for them, for God's blessings on them.
That's a good idea.
Lord, we thank you for this time we have together. And we thank you, Lord, for Brother Lee Stevens and his wife, for the ministry they're involved with for the kingdom. You see this child that's coming into this world. We pray that you bless it. Lord, you give it health, you give it strength, you give it wisdom, but most of all, we pray that you give it a desire to have the things for the kingdom that only you can put into our heart, that desire to want to live for you. Bless this family. Put a hedge of protection around them. Give her an easy childbirth. Father, in your name, we lay this family on your altar. Lord, we just put them in your hands, for you know all things, and you promise that all things will work together for our good if we put our trust in you. And Jesus, right now, we pray, Lord, that your power goes forth to this family and let them feel you lift them up to that place that is higher than they've ever been before. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Ooh, I'm starting to get goosebumps just a little bit.
Our next prayer could be for my computer.
Are you still locked up?
I'm still locked up. I don't know whether to, because I'm afraid if I close out that it'll just really mess us up and just disconnect everybody. It's just, I can see everything, but all I'm getting is an hourglass. I can't get... But could you maybe start about the movie? Or did you want Mama to go first?
Well, I'm backed up here kind of cockeyed at the place where I'm going. I'm up here. It's really funny. I don't think they got the memo up here in Wisconsin and Minnesota. I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota right now. And the temperature's been running in the 40s up here, and I'm like, did anyone not tell you guys it's summertime? And the reason I said all that is I have to open the doors on the back of my trailer, and when I go back there, I get disconnected from my phone. And
okay.
So, But yeah, this movie is really, really something. The actors in it, they do an exceptional job. There's one place in there where it's real funny when you're living for God, things jump out at you. But there was one place they put a curse word in, and I'm like, there was no reason to do that. You know, I don't know why they have to mess up something good with something like that in everything.
But yeah, it's a true story. Maybe the person really did curse at that moment.
I really have a hard time believing that era of our time, that four-letter word was thrown out.
Oh.
I mean, a lot of things is pretty common now, but in that time, in that generation, there were certain things that just was not said. And I think the actors did a little improv there, and it just, they left it in, you know, because it was a lot of drama involved in it at that time. But one of the things that really touched me about the movie that really, you know, was in that winter that this was all about, the German army had to shut down. They couldn't advance anymore. The winter was that severe. And these people, there was two brothers who took these people out into the woods. Actually, it's real funny. They fled into the woods after they realized that their mother and father had been killed. And they took the younger brothers out, and then their oldest brother found them because they were involved in smuggling and to make their living. And so they used to run in the woods and hide every time the police would come after them. And it starts off with their mindset is vengeance. And they're wanting to get even with the people that hurt their parents. And one of the things that's really touching, if you really look into the history of it, was how the Germans stole money from the Jews and used that same money to bribe other people to turn in other Jews. And which just shocked me when you actually see it visualized and everything that, you know, people were doing that. And in this situation here, they were told they were paying $500 a person for each one they turned in. And so they went out there, and some other people had fled to the woods, and they kind of took them under their wing to take care of them. And the two brothers kind of had a falling out, which only, like, I don't have a brother, but I've seen people that do. And it's when you got family involved in anything, it's real easy for things to get real tense quick. And so it did here because they wanted to go into the vengeance thing, and then one of them realized, hey, we're a better people than this. We need to have a different way of doing business than the Germans are. We're no better than they are. And so it just kind of builds up from there. And I'm not going to tell you, this is not something you want to sit down with a small child and watch. It's nothing real gory or anything, but it's very, very much the drama of watching. You know, you see people out there in the hundreds and thousands, and it does show some shots of the ditches where bodies were just strewn out there. And, you know, some things like that, and the hardships of trying to survive with little food and trying to set up a community and everything. All that stuff is actually shown in the movie.
I do have Mama on the line now, just in case you care. I wanted to say, as we all know, I love my president. And did you hear about what that little thing he said to the Iranian president whenever he was at one of the sites where the Jews were killed in the Holocaust?
No.
He was standing actually in the place, and he said something to the Iranian Ahmadinejad, who had insinuated that maybe it's been exaggerated, or it's, I actually think in a way the Iranian guys misunderstood his point, is kind of different. But anyway, while Obama was standing there on that sacred ground, he said to that man, you can't deny this, you can't deny what's happened to the Jewish people.
I did hear the speech by the vice president, or someone had told me about it, and I looked on the internet, where they're working very hard to help our soldiers with the post-traumatic stress disorder, which we had, you know, Sergeant Bill Mullinax and his wife on for 2 nights, opening up and sharing the hardships they went through and going through that process. And
he said it's his sacred duty, that it's his number one job as the vice president, and it is his sacred duty to make sure that the military men and women, and named post-traumatic stress disorder specifically. So that's good.
That's very good. Anyway, we've kind of given Mom an intro already.
Lots of ado.
Well, hello, and I just admire y'all. I wonder, where in the world did you get this ability to have so much courage and be so articulate?
Where in the world?
Where in
now
the
you
world?
Know why we're like that. We got it from you.
Yeah, my little heart's going boom, boom, boom. But I do count it a great privilege, and that everything that y'all have mentioned is well worth every generation. I was thinking about my generation and then each generation discussing these things, not that necessarily will remember, but that every generation will remember, and I appreciate Obama for doing that and saying that. That's really great. You know, I wish
you've heard, like, if we don't remember history, we're doomed to repeat it or something like that.
Right, and you and I have discussed that. If people would just, and I've always been, well, I'm not always, but especially growing up in school, I wasn't interested in history at all. And when I guess I was about almost 30 when I surrendered my life to the Lord, and when I began to read the Bible, I didn't realize it, but I was beginning to read about Israel, you know, the Israel of today. I was reading about the Jewish people, and I just never, you know, didn't put it together with an actual place, because it wasn't until, when was it, 1948 or 46 that Israel became a nation. And still, even though I saw that mom and dad, the expression on their face when the paper came out, and they were connecting it, but I didn't connect it. I was still really young, and it's exciting to look at history and benefit and learn and not make the same mistakes, but to know how, like Bill was saying, the whole big picture fits together. And we're talking about prayer. I appreciate Bill's prayer, and I today it was exciting. Believe in God with you. Would like to mention, this is a personal request, today one of the families in our church, their little two-week-old baby, they took it back to the doctor just to, you know, little, see if it was gaining weight, and just regular little checkup, and they thought maybe that it had a stroke, and it's in the hospital tonight. And I would like y'all and everyone that would be listening and your friends in the next few days to keep this family in prayer. They are absolutely devastated, as you can imagine. Now, if you have any questions you want to ask me about the history of the Jews, the history of the Israelites, it was in 2005, I was just checking AOL News, and the word Gaza Strip came up, and, you know, that was the gates of Gaza, and if I mispronounce things, well, y'all just forgive me, because we don't say it like the Israelites do anyway, but Samson was the one that took those gates, you know, and so anyway, I clicked on that, which I rarely do the news, but as I began to listen and see the Jewish people and the actual rabbis, and they were weeping, and they were given back the Gaza Strip at that point, which it was their land, which I would like to mention that they've been accused, the Israelites have been accused of not wanting to give portions of the land, and that's just not true. That's a myth. They have given up, and they did that area. But when I was watching it, then I began to feel the presence of God, and I just began to weep. I was just crying and crying, and I knew it was God speaking to my heart. And as a result of that, I began to open the Bible and begin to study. And in 2005, our church did a conference called Sound the Alarm. And so most of all the study that I did was connected to the end time, how this everything, because everything around the Bible, I mean, everything, I guess, that end time prophecy will always reach into Jerusalem, you know, reach into Israel, what's happening in Israel. But if you just look tonight, if we just discuss some of the fantastic things about the Israelites, besides just, you know, what it says in the Bible, if anybody wants to buy this little series, it's called Against All Odds. It's Against All Odds, Israel Survives. And it was put together, there's one, there's five, I believe, of these DVDs. You can order them on the web, or you can get them at a Christian bookstore. But it was put together. There's journalist Michael Greenspan with CNN and BBC. He is going into Israel and interviewing these people that were soldiers or spies or whatever their calling was, and they survived. One of the first stories that they tell, the Israelite soldiers one evening were walking, and they realized at one point that they were totally surrounded by mines that were in the ground. And they dropped to the ground, and they had these little instruments, and they were digging meticulously around these mines. And, you know, just one false move, and they were blown to smithereens. And all of a sudden, the clouds formed, and the wind, now this is documented, this was against all odds that they would ever get out of that minefield. But the wind began to blow so hard that they thought they were going to just almost be blown away. And they knelt down, they got really close to the ground, and then when the wind stopped and they stood up, all of the mines were exposed, and they were able just to walk right out of that minefield. And they didn't even attribute it to God or a miracle. And I might mention here that just because someone is an Israelite doesn't, or a Hebrew or a Jew, doesn't mean that they believe that they're religious people. The Jewish people are the sect, if I understand it correctly, that do follow after God, the rabbis and every that sect of them. And if anybody would like to do a study just on the Israelite people, if they will go to the website aish.com, there's any and everything that you would want to know about them. There's one-minute videos, there's studies, humor, just any and everything. And that's where I got a tremendous amount of my information. But back to the Against All Odds, I highly recommend that. I think it's half price, by the way, right now, if anybody would want to get it. And it had interviews with rabbis. I learned things. I didn't know that when Israel became a nation, that it was actually prophesied by the prophets of the Old Testament, that timing. It was also mentioned through the prophets that there would be two ways that the Israelites would come back to the land that had been promised to them. It would be like in the Holocaust, and these terrible, horrible things that happened to the Jews, they always stayed unified. They always they prayed every day and every night for their country, that they would return to their homeland. And that was, by the way, given to them and proclaimed by David in the Old Testament. It wasn't something just because we agreed, and Britain or whoever agreed to let them have their land back. It was God gave them the land. If anybody believes the Bible as the authority, then God gave Israel that piece of land, and it's miraculous how that through the Holocaust, through all the hardships, that was one force that brought them back. But it was the love, just the love of God and the love of His Word and the love of the promises of God that drew them back also. And in this interview with this rabbi, he brings it out. I think I sort of stumbled through it, but it's just beautiful. It's excellent. It's been put together so that it's entertaining. Some of it's not. Some of it's sort of gory, and I'm a weenie head when it comes to that. And I'm like, Richie, about the Holocaust. And but I mean, I say that, but I don't want to sound facetious or frivolous about it, because if those people could go through it, I can, you know, get a grip and study it and know what atrocities can happen, and how a country and a group of people can be strong. One thing about, I had a list of some of the things that have happened to them through the years, beginning in Rome in the very beginning and then ending with Hitler, but also Russia did some horrible things with Jewish people. But there was over 30 other incidents. But what I'd like to mention now is the Nobel Prizes. And I was real selective on which ones I mentioned because I can't read their names. But Albert Einstein, as we know, is the most famous and influential scientist of all time. And all the way down through these pages I have Joseph Brodsky, Nobel Prize winner in literature, most famous modern poet. Paul Samuelson, Nobel Prize in economics, the first ever. Eli Metchnikoff, Nobel Prize winner in medicine, studied immunity and infectious diseases. The Jewish people are very blessed with intelligence. I mean, I can't even say their names, and look what all they've done. There was one thing I thought was really neat in here. This one man, Albert A. Michelson, he received the Nobel Prize in physics, and he measured the speed of light, and he used something that cost him $10, this little apparatus, and he was able to measure the speed of light. And I thought that, isn't that interesting?
It's very interesting. I do want to remind our callers that if you have any questions to ask or anything that you want to add, push 1, and then I'll see your hand up by your number and know that you want to come online. So I hope that didn't break your train of thought, Mom.
No, my little train of thought, I'm going to just, you know, y'all, anything anybody wants to ask, if I can go that direction, I'll sure try. Again, Joseph Goldstein, Nobel Prize in medicine, and all the way down through here, medicine, literature, physics, my point is these things benefited all humanity. You know, they have been a blessing, and there are so many scriptures that God says if you bless them, you bless the Jewish people, the Israelite people, then God will bless us. And I didn't know this either, but in the series Against All Odds, at one time Israel was completely surrounded. I guess it was the 1967 war, and so their leader had an audience with our President Nixon, and it looked like there was no hope for Israel. And Nixon, in this conference, told her that when he was little, that he, in his little Bible studies and devotions at home, that his grandmother and mother had told him, one day you will have an opportunity to bless Israel, and you must do that. And even though Nixon wasn't really supported by anyone in his decision, he did decide to help Israel. And I believe that America has really been blessed because of that, because some things are in the hands of man. You know, we can make decisions and vote and do whatever, but if we ever lose sight of the ultimate, God's plan. You know, God has a plan, a purpose. He's sovereign, and he gets to do whatever he wants to do, and it just benefits and behooves all of us to get into that. And that's what that rabbi was trying to, he said it, and what I was trying to allude to a while ago. There was a scripture. It's in Ezekiel 37:11. It's okay if I read this because it ties into a point.
Yeah, go ahead.
It says, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. At this time, Ezekiel is looking out of this big field of dry bones. He said, this, and God tells him, this is the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. In Ezekiel 37:12, therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And if you look at the tremendous persecution by France, by Russia, by Poland, Hitler, Germany, but God has kept his hand upon the Israelites, and they are a nation, and that is a miracle. A miracle that only, I mean, it's fascinating. If a person didn't want to look at it,
yes, sir.
Can you pull around so we can put that one in the door?
Sure, I'm sorry.
For any other reason than just the literature part of it, just the history part of it, it would be really worth your time. I mentioned a scripture a while ago, Genesis 12 and 3. The Lord said, "And I will bless them that bless you," talking about Israel, "and curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And it goes on with the other things. But anyway, after I had that experience while I was watching the news about the Gaza Strip, then I began to really seek more and more information. Then there were about seven other ministers that joined with me, and we began to fast and pray, and we put it all together, how Israel and the Jewish people tie in to what's going on today and what Bible prophecy says. Is there anything anybody would want to say about any of that?
Yeah, I had a thing that just really stirred me. You know, a lot of people, when they get to talking about end time, and a lot of this, you know, Revelations is, in some ways, it's very revealing. In some ways, it's definitely a mystery, especially to me. And I've sat through Bible studies where they do Daniel and Revelation together to show how the whole thing ties in. But there's a lot of speculation as to whether the church will have to go through any of the tribulation. And one of the things that I hear as a reasoning tool is that the church is God's bride. And there's no way that God would allow his bride to go through the first part of tribulation. But after seeing this movie and everything, that just really stirred my mind. These are God's chosen people. I mean, it's all through the Bible. This is God's chosen people. And you look at what they went through, and God has blessed them and everything, but there was a rabbi that did a prayer in there, and I can't quote it verbatim, and I mess it all up, but what he was basically saying is, you know, he was acknowledging that they were blessed to be God's chosen people, but Lord, could you please give it to somebody else for a while? Because those people had been run through the mill. I mean, and I think this was in Poland because they had to deal, the Russians were also battling against Germany where they were. And the Germans were separated. I think this was over in a part of Poland anyway, but they were still trying to maintain, to fight against the Germans every little bit they could, and they were taking what food and things they could get from the local farmers to try to survive. And so everybody was in the middle. This wasn't one of those war things where it was just cut and dried, you knew who was on whose side. Everybody was trying to survive. It was a hard time without the war, but it was really hard with the war. And here these people were, they're trying to survive and the hardships. But what really, really stirred me on the whole thing was is how even though the people that were being used were not people of faith, they were smugglers, these two brothers. But as the one rabbi told the one, he's like, you know, who would, you know, he made a point of, you know, this guy's like, I don't know what to do. And he's like, well, God knows what to do. He's like, well, God needs to put somebody here. And the rabbi smiled at him and said he did. And so the rabbi acknowledged that God used these brothers, you know, to help these people survive and to go through what they were going through. But I'd like to hear your thoughts on the thing as to wonder why the Jews have had to suffer so much. I mean, I know that, you know, we read the thing about when they left Egypt and they had been in bondage, and we know about they moaned and complained and God opened up the earth. You know, there's certain things that God wants us to understand about him. And what I got from this movie was that there's a lot of things about God I still don't have a grasp on. And I don't think we have the, I think we try to take everything in our mind's eye, and we try to make it sound the way we think it should to make sense. But when you really think about it, what kind of sense does it make to have the blood of animals and sacrifice to atone sin from one year to the next? You know, if I was going to do something like that, I'd have it where they all went down to the river and everybody got a bar of soap and took a bath every year in a special kind of soap or something like that, you know. But, you know, God's ways are not our ways. And, you know, I know that there's things that happen for a reason, but do you have any thoughts as to why God's chosen people have had to go through what they've went through?
Personally, any kind of pain. You know, I read a lot of books and studied in psychology. You know, where is God when we hurt? Where is he when we suffer? And why is there so much, you know, poverty and starvation I think if you stopped right now and in 60 seconds, over 20 people have died from starvation. I don't know how who gets those statistics together. But one of the greatest questions that a human is going to have is why? Why do we have to suffer? And why do other people have, and what good does can a sovereign, loving God get out of all of this suffering? You know, but the simplest thing for me is to take it back to square one, to go back to the Garden of Eden, where in the very beginning, when God began to open, He said, "Let there be light." He created the world, the stars, the moon, all of creation. And then He placed Adam and Eve, the crown of His creation. He placed them in the garden, and He told them that they could have everything that they wanted, but He put one restriction, just one restriction, and they failed. And you can, you know, that's a whole huge series of Bible studies, whatever, non-ending. But they failed, and then sin entered. And God could have, at that point, He could have destroyed everything. He could have just blotted it all out and ended it. But because of love, now He wasn't surprised. God wasn't surprised at what they did. God has all knowledge. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. But because of His love, and this is sort of like to try to comprehend eternity. You know, we think something's got to have a beginning. It's got to have an ending. You know, how can it go on and on and on? So beyond our comprehension, beyond the comprehension of humanity, there is a love. The wrath of God is so far above any kind of love that we can comprehend that it's really beyond our understanding. But God told us, He said, number one, He's holy, He's love, He wills that none should perish, that all should come to repentance. He didn't just, I guess what I'm trying to say is that everything is a result of rebellion against God. And God doesn't step in. If He did, then it wouldn't be fair then if He stepped in a certain way for all of history to be fulfilled. Now, He does step in. You and I, we know that there's been times that when we first started living for the Lord, I mean, that one time we were heading off a mountain, lost control of a car, and we just cried the name of Jesus, and the car just stopped. And one time Joy had whatever kind of allergies. It was just horrible, and Richie, you did too. And God intervened through His miraculous healing power. He intervened. But it was through faith. It was through obedience. It was according to God's plan. Israel has been outside of God's plan because of their own choice. Even now, Israel does not. They're not following Jesus Christ. They're not. They're still not following the Word of God. But God's married to them. They are backslidden away. And what you're seeing is the mercy of God that is continually working with them. There's a scripture that helped me with this not too long ago. It said, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery." Now, what you and I have just been talking about, it's a mystery. A lot of these things we do not comprehend. What we do is we serve God, and we choose to believe that He knows. You know, He's not going to make a mistake. Okay, "You should not be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits." And see, a lot of times, humanity, they get to thinking they're smarter than God, that God's dropped the ball, that, you know, somewhere along the line, that God's just not really, you know, he's not cool. You know, he's got to get up to date with things. But see, that's our own conceits, because God is God. He is a creator. Anyway, it says that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. God is going to have a people. He had an Israelite. He worked with them as his wife, as the bride, the wife. But with us, we are His bride. All Gentiles are His bride. And God has had a people since the day of Pentecost. He's been working with every Italian, French, whatever, to pull a people that will serve Him. Because ultimately, we will serve Him. And we will serve Him as the highest authority. And we will do it because we love Him. And it's the most beautiful plan in all the world. It's just this part of here about being wise in your own conceits. Israel became, they began to look around and they thought, we got to have a king. Man, look at all of these nations. They've got a king. And so they went and they said, hey, Samuel, get us a king. And when Samuel went to God with it, God said, no, they haven't rejected you, Samuel. They rejected me. See, when humanity, and we get so big, and Israel or anybody else, that we reject God's plan, we're in trouble. And Israel has been in trouble, and they have suffered horribly. And I hope I never have to go through. But I want to say this. If you read about Corrie Ten Boom, she went because she protected those that that were in her home, the Hebrews, and she was thrown into prison with her sister and her dad. And but the stories that she tells, one of them is so outstanding. And her little sister was so skinny, and she had a robe on, and her sister never complained. She said, Corrie never complained. Always praise God. Always give Him praise. Never complain. And so, anyway, they put them in a place where there were lice and fleas, and it was just terrible. But they had their Bible, and if they hadn't, when they started to put them in this one area, it was so horrible that the Germans wouldn't even get close to them. And so, Corey's sister said, "See, thank God, because we got to bring the Word of God in here," and they were comforting to the others. And I know that's probably hard to reconcile, you know. And I didn't mean to just totally. Have I gone too far?
No.
Oh, where are y'all? that one.
Sorry, I muted myself because I didn't know if it makes it harder for people to hear if all the different things are. I love Corrie Ten Boom and that whole story about how her sister was determined that the Nazis wouldn't take away her relationship with God, and that she was going to be loving no matter what the situation was. And then when she died, it made it so hard for Corrie Ten Boom to hold on to that herself. She's an amazing person.
Oh, yeah. One of the miraculous things, too, about Corrie, when her sister died, she said that was more than... See, God said, I'll never put more on you than you can bear, but I've made a way of escape. And she walked up to the hospital area, and she looked in, and there her sister was, so just pitiful, you know, just so skinny and so everything. And she said, Corrie said, I felt myself about to break. It was just more. I said, look up one more time. And she looked up, and all of a sudden her sister was like she was when she was just 18 and 19 years old. And God spoke to her and said, look, you know, this is forever. This, all this junk you've seen, all this inhumanity to man, that's temporary, but this other is forever. And we've got forever to live with God, forever for Him to wipe away every tear, and to give us understanding. And it's going to be worth every pain and sorrow that we go through to live for God and to glorify Him. Corrie Ten Boom was, she came to the United States. They said she got off, and she just started knocking on doors. She said, I've got one story to tell you, and my message is God was in the concentration camps. He was there with us. And I haven't had any kind of trials like that, but my testimony is that through every heartache and every pain, every lonely moment, God has never left me, and He's never forsaken me.
That's a big unity concept, too. Wherever I am, God is. Wherever you are, God is.
He is. He promised that. He wouldn't leave us. He wouldn't leave us. What's that poem about the footprints? You remember the guys walking along the beach?
If you can quote that, I'm going to be very impressed.
Well, I can tell you what it, I can't quote it, but I can tell you the concept of it. He's walking along the beach. You know, there's his footprints, and there's God's footprint right along with him. And then when it was really a horrible time for him, there was just one set of footprints. And he said, Lord, why did you leave me during that horrible time? And God said, well, I didn't leave you. That's when I carried you. And that's when it, you know, like people say, I didn't know He was a healer until I was sick and He healed me. But if He never healed me, He's still the healer because of the stripes that were put on His back.
That's good.
You're good. Oh, this is good. I got my chillings around me. I love y'all. I really do.
And amen, corner. And these, we've got a couple callers. I know one of them, Starla. Don't worry, Starla. I'm not going to pull you out of hiding if you don't want to be. But if you have anything to say, feel free to push one. And then we have a caller from the 304 area code. Please feel free to join us. We've only got 14 minutes left in the show, and we'd like to hear from you if you've got anything to say. And then we've got Jennifer. She's there, and she's chatting with me in the chat, and she's just here lending her support to the process.
Are we? Anybody wants to talk?
Let's see. We've got at least... Oh, I scared Starla away. She's gone now. We do have Richie back. He is working tonight, so that's why he's been kind of in and out.
Yeah, I'm up here at the airport staring at airplanes.
There's worse place to be than that.
And,
yeah, at least I'm not on the runway anymore. I got that one figured out.
I don't. Y'all must be multitasked big time to be able to do all the things you do and still think.
I already said this, but I'm not sure if I was being drowned out by our new music, but I really appreciate the fact that you were willing to jump in at the last second and fill in for us whenever our guest fell through. I think that's very nice of you. I know that you've been preparing to talk about this specific subject for a long time and had a lot of practice, but still it's not easy just a few hours before the show to suddenly know you're going to be on here. I think that was very loving of you.
Well, I appreciate that. It's just camaraderie is worth everything. When I first got so excited about this, when I'd say the word Israel, everybody just sort of faded away. Or I'd say Jewish or something, because I wore a wart on their brain. I was excited about this. The whole thing just came together. In the Old Testament Nebuchadnezzar had that dream, and Daniel was the one that gave him the interpretation of the dream. And that just always seemed bizarre to me. You know, I mean, I just couldn't, I don't know, I just, you know, it was over my head, I guess. But after studying about the Jewish people and Israelite history, and I realized how it God, when he gave that vision to Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel had the interpretation, do you remember what I'm talking about? That he saw a big image, the head of gold, arms of silver, thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet and toes of iron and clay.
Yeah.
And all right. Well, that.
That started off with the hardest and the best metals of the time, and then it went down to being weaker and weaker as it went.
And that's every kingdom: Babylon, the Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. And then the divided empire. But when I realized that in every one of these segments of time, God had a plan for Israel. Just think about it, that he never let them get just totally annihilated or totally dispersed or totally lose their identity. They have a love. That's another thing you can see on AISH.com. They have these the little one-minute movies you can go to. The Wailing Wall, different parts of the temple. Well, that was all that was left, but, I mean, different lessons on the temple. And I wish that my mind is sort of blanker than usual on that, but I'm just fascinated by that website. I just, even if you didn't want to study it necessarily because of the religion at all, the lessons on marriage and celibacy, honoring your parents, just all, they have very interesting lectures and videos on those subjects.
You didn't really answer my question on the thing about why the Jews have had to go through so much, and I have a theory on it, but I don't know how close it is to being true. But like when they knew that there was going to be someone to come lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, you know, Satan is not in a dark corner somewhere, not aware of, you know, God's prophecies and promises and things. And I think, you know, we know that, you know, they set about, he used man to try to destroy all the male children to keep that from happening. And the same thing that, you know, we've seen, you know, happen with when Jesus was born. You know, they set about trying to, you know, make sure that he was killed when he was an infant. And I think that Satan, you know, this is something that's happening. It's not just on one level here. We look at it as being what God does, and we understand that God can stop Satan, but there are certain things he allows him to do for his purpose. And we can't really see the big picture, you know, as I mentioned before, but we're aware that there is a bigger picture. You know, we talk about the end time, but really it's the beginning of time. If you really look at it clearly, it's the end of this dispensation, but it's the beginning of no time. You know, it's party time. But the whole thing is that I think that God has allowed Satan to do these things. And look what it did. It scattered the Jewish people all across the world, and it put them in positions to be in charge of some of the biggest banks and huge conglomerate companies and things that would not have happened before.
That's
and
true.
So, you know, in my mind, I'm seeing it's a reason. God hasn't changed them being his chosen people. And there is going to come a day when everyone's going to look up there and say, wow, look at those people. Man, God has lifted them up to where they need to be, because there is going to come a day when they acknowledge what they're not acknowledging now. And there's going to come a day when they see as they've never seen before, and they're going to stand up like they've always done. And that's what I liked about this movie, Defiance, because they realized they stood up. They weren't going to lay down and die. They
right.
weren't going to be over. They weren't going to be just, you know, the whole thing was how the trickery and how they tried to use the local politics within the Jewish people. In this movie, they told the Jewish leaders, for everyone at least, 20 is going to be killed. You know, and so the Jewish leaders said, don't leave. You know, just wait your turn. You're going to be sent off to one of these farm camps and everything, which we know that those were not farm camps. And but what's your thoughts on that, Mom?
Well, it reminds me of that story I think I told Joy earlier
yeah.
about the little boy that went to the dentist, and the dentist said, how old are you? And he was 4, so he held up 4 fingers. And the dentist said, can't you talk? And the little boy said, well, can't
oh, no.
you count? Huh? Can you hear it?
Go ahead. I think that since he's working, he had to talk to someone else.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, you know, we can look at any of these things from so many different I mean, it's not, it's, I can't encapsulate it. I can't bring it together. It's bigger than I am. And I just, but I do want to mention that Irvin Baxter has given his whole life to studying this, and you can just look it up on a website, IrvinBaxter. He has every kind of video, DVD, workbooks, anything that anybody would want to study on this subject. It's www.endtime.com, and he also has a talk show. And I studied a lot of his. I also studied every other David Jeremiah, Escape the Coming Night. He brings in all of this that's happening in Israel right now. And I do
all of this is someone by the name of Stone. He's out of Tennessee, and he does a lot of Bible study. He really looks into the, you know, he talks with the actual Jews to get meanings for words that we kind of take and put different meanings on. And it's very interesting, some of the concepts that he has, and, you know, how we look at things. One of the things that really the last couple of years has really stood out to my mind is that we seem to forget that God is sovereign. God don't need us for anything. He chose us.
That's
but,
good.
But he don't need us to make something happen. He can make it, you know, he says he'll bring someone as far as the east is from the west, which we know that is there is no end or beginning to east and west. It makes it a complete loop. But it lets us know that God, you know, he pretty much lets us know, I can bring something from here to there if I have to make my plans work. You know, don't ever get to thinking that, you know, because you have a calling in your life or I've blessed you before or you've had an experience with me that, you know, you're set. You know, I'm still sovereign. I'm still God. My rules still apply. My laws they weren't done away with. I fulfilled them. But, you know, God, he still requires things from us that man has tried to logically say, well, that was then and this is now. You know, well, you know, they had healings and things that happened, you know, when Jesus was here, but that was that dispensation, this is now. And they just, we kind of take things to say, you know, where God says, be holy, be separate, you know, be a pure people and things. You know, we take those to have meanings that were then and not now. And when you really get down into it, I can't find where God, when God said those dispensations end, that's when he's come back. And so, you know, it kind of bothers me. Even in the church group that I'm with, we're of course, a lot of people try to say we're legalistic. The people of the Pentecostal faith, that we hang on to things in a legal viewpoint. But when you look at it, you're dealing with God's laws and precepts. It was still grace and mercy.
Yes.
That came in and allowed us a way of escape and chose us to be his chosen people to go along with the Jews. We were sort of grafted in as long as we follow his commandments and we obey him. And that's one of the things that really people have a hard time understanding is disobedience is sin. You know, we want to say, well, to tell a lie is sin, to steal is sin, adultery is sin, fornication is sin. But if God tells you to walk across the road and hand someone $100 and you don't do it, you just sinned. You know, if God speaks to your heart to do things, and we have this mindset that we know more than God. Well, he didn't really mean for me to give him $100, you know. He wanted me to give him $50, you know, or something like that. And I'm really trying to make it trivial in one sense what I'm saying, but I think everyone can understand, you know, the big picture of the whole thing is that God is in control. And he's promised that when we lean on him, he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. When we look at things that we can't do, in our weakest moment, that's when he's strongest in our life, when we let him be. And that's one of the things that we get this big head because we got free will. And there's not anything that can remove us from God's hand but us. And, you know, of course, some people believe that you can't be removed from God's hand even by yourself, which I don't understand that concept at all, and I'd like to hear people's thoughts on it. But when you look at God's chosen people and everything, and you realize that, yeah, they've been through some trials, they've been through some storms, they've been through some floods, but they're still there. When Hitler was taking over the world and his goal was to wipe them out, they're still there. And that's because the Almighty God said, Satan, you can do certain things, but I'm going to have my people. And it goes along with God's word. But it just, the whole thing of looking at the Jewish people, in one sense, we can tell those are our cousins. You know, we're grafted in. And I think to separate us from that, you know, when things get serious over there, I remember when Saddam Hussein, the first time they sent Scud missiles into Israel, and I think that was back in the mid-80s. A lot of people thought that was going to be the end of time because Israel don't play. You know, you drop a bomb in their square, and they're going to take an airplane and drop 20 missiles in, and they're going to try to knock out every military target that they know that you have. And so we really thought that that was going to be, you know, towards the end of the world, or as we call it, the end of time. And every time that something happens with Israel, we focus on it. You know, I won't ever forget the pictures of watching the Israeli police pulling the Jewish people off the Gaza Strip, screaming and crying, pulling them from their businesses, pulling them from their homes, because they surrendered that over to the Palestinian people. And you're like, you know, there has to be somewhere deep in our hearts to realize the significance of what was happening right then.
Right.
When God
got less than a minute now, just to let you know.
Okay. Any closing thoughts for us, Mom?
Dude, I like everything you said, and I agree with it 100%. And when you were talking about God dispersing Jews and people to certain areas, I thought of Joseph, what all he endured, but yet he was the one that saved all of his people and who is a definite type of Jesus Christ. And that's, I love you all, and thank you very much for letting me be on your program.
Well, we enjoyed you being here, and hopefully you can, you know, get all your notes together, and next week we can do the follow-up to this. Is that okay with you?
Fine.
And you can go into more details of the things that you had, you know, with Sound the Alarm and some of the actual histories, and, you know, talk about actual dates and times and things that happened, and share that with everybody. And I tell you what, I feel blessed. I mean, I'm out here multitasking, trying to do what I was doing today, And two doors down from me, somehow or another, a man was injured. An ambulance had to come get him because he had lost focus from what he was doing. And ended up, the guy pulled a trailer out, and he ended up falling underneath the trailer.
Ooh.
And up underneath the lift. So, I mean.
Lord, maybe that's a warning to us that we don't need to try to be doing this when you're
right.
working. And by the way, Starla, I do see that you have your hand up, and Jennifer, you're on, and area code 304, we're off the air now, but I've got all the mics open in case anybody just wants to say something.
The area code 304 is my sister, Charlene, in West Virginia.
Hello, Sister Charlene in West Virginia. We're so glad to have you join us tonight. I hope I didn't scare you by keeping on calling on you, but Starla's probably told you how I can be.
Anyway, I really look forward to this program tonight, and I'm really looking forward to next week. And maybe we ought to make a habit of this.
Can you share with us, tell a little bit about this stone? What's his name?
Harry Stone out of Cleveland, Tennessee, and he does end-time prophecy. And he has a program on TV, but he's also got a website. And I'm not certain what the website is, but I'm sure you could type in perrystone.com and it would pull it up. But it's very, really, really interesting. And he does goes to Israel quite a bit, and that is what his program is on right now, is Israel.
Yeah, I caught a part of his program where he was talking about the Israelite or the disciples out in the boat fishing, and how, you know, they were looking out there across the water, and how Jesus didn't just come walking on the water, but he was passing them by. He was booking across the water when he was coming up there, and you know, they had to holler at him to get him to stop. He was traveling on across there. So it's interesting. I mean, you know, he actually showed the view of the lake across there, which is, we call it a sea, but it's actually, it looks like a huge lake. Like he said, it looks smaller from on the mountaintop where he was, but he wanted the people to visualize where Jesus was up on the mountaintop, you know, when the storm came in and the disciples were out there fishing and everything, to realize, to be able to visualize. And that's funny. We really are a visual people. To be able to see that, and to see, you know, the mountain, you know, where Jesus was up, you know, it said he was up on the high place, you know, and things. And it's interesting to be able to look at those things. But then the whole thing is that it's real easy to get into the details of some things and still lose sight of the big picture. You know, it's kind of like that growing weary and well-doing.
Are you weary and well-doing, walking on the road to New Jerusalem? I love that song.
I don't even know that.
I think
song.
We need to tape our some of our singing and put it on the air.
Yeah, we need to do
the song at the beginning. Did it go well?
It drowned you out. I could hear most of what you said, but it overpowered you.
The part that
you
didn't hear was brilliant.
You know, the intro thing, we need to let it play through, and then at the end of it come in. That's one of the things we can learn from that, because even at 50%, it was pretty much at the same level, if not a little bit louder than you were on there. So I think that's what it's meant. Of course, you can always stop it when you want to, from what I understand.
Yeah, that's true, because I did stop it.
I think
right now if you can push on there where rubber meets the road. See if you can actually get that song to play.
But I know that I can't, because I'm not even in there where the computer is.
Oh, well, then I know you can't. Unless you got really long arms. But anyway, Mom, I want to thank you for, you know, jumping in here. I know it was really hard because you got tons of notes on this stuff, and then next week you can just go through and give your, you know, presentation on how you want to give it. And
mine goes towards the end time prophecy and away from Israel. You know, it was like a thread that went down all the way through it, naturally, because at the end, when they, when the Lord comes back and they recognize who He is, that's all the part about Israel. I pretty much mentioned it as far as, you know, I don't know what else I could get. I mean, you know me, I can get a whole lot of stuff. That,
yeah, well, I know you've got
keep
all the things that you've done, you know, in your thread of through there and everything, but I thought it'd be interesting just to kind of go through a short, you know, synopsis. I don't know if I said that right. Starting back from Bible times going through to now.
When it, you know, if we go into the moral decline of our nation, evolution, the things that were the same attitudes, the conceits, the high, the philosophies of man that entered in Israel. They began to pull them away from the simplicity of the little tabernacle, or even Solomon's temple. They were drawn away from the simplicity, well, simple it was, but you know what I mean, at being exactly on target with what God wanted them to do, they got lifted up. And we are in our nation now with, I just got God's statistics of the abortion thing and all of that, but I don't know, I don't think you need that, do you?
Well, I was really hoping to go along with the thing of looking at a timeline with Israel. I thought that maybe you could pull up all those little tidbits of information and kind of give us, you know, like starting back and doing a timeline, or just actually give us, a lot of people are not going to, you know, read a book and do these things. You know, you gave a lot of information, you gave a lot of websites and stuff, but kind of give us sort of just a short timeline of where Israel has been from back at, you know, from where we got recorded history through the Bible, and to where, you know, where you stopped with wherever you are now. And you could even stop during the Holocaust if you wanted to, but I thought even going through to where, you know, they became a nation and the whole thing. And it's really interesting, the whole thing that you mentioned about, you kind of touched a little bit about the fact that just because we think of Israel as being God's people and everything, we have to realize the Jewish people don't accept Jesus as anything more than a prophet or, you know, an apostle like the others that were
right.
Doing that.
You're right. Absolutely.
And, you know, and as far as, you know, they kind of, you know, scoff at us as thinking that we're the Christian nation. And the people in politics here, we look at our politics and we want to say, like, you know, well, hey, you know, I don't agree with his philosophy on this, on that, and different things, you know, as far as being a Christian nation. And then the president comes out and pretty much says, you know, we're people can believe what they want to here. We're not specifically a Christian nation, which I understand the people he was speaking to at the time, but the Israeli government is pretty much the same way. You know, they don't call themselves the God's chosen people in government. They don't deal with the things of God. They don't stick to the Orthodox ways as the Orthodox Jews do. And that's one of those things of interest that people, I thought would be really interesting to bring out in a show to show some of the this different things that happened along the way. And some of the
A whole calendar of Jewish persecution. I just went to from the first, you know, where they were Rome, in Jerusalem, you know, when they were destroyed, and it went right on to the very end. But do you want any of that?
Yeah, I thought that would be very, you know, the persecutions they went through, their accomplishment. Like you said, there was Nobel Prize. You don't have to tell us your name, but you could give years and say that, you know, what they got Nobel Prizes for. You know, some of those things.
I did that.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm going to hang up my phone. I don't know if it hangs up the
okay,
y'all's connection or not.
Thank you. Ron, if you've got any, think about it and some things that would be pertinent, you know, that I can get dates and whatever, I'd really appreciate it. It helped me a lot.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you all for listening.
Love you all. You might not have to hang up. I just wanted to warn you in case I didn't know if my, because I'm not going to hang up the computer thing. I'm just going to hang up my phone.
Yeah, well, I do got to get back to work over here. I had someone walk up to me. I muted myself and told him that I was on the radio show. He wanted to talk to me about that guy that was hurt over there. So,
okay. All right. Love y'all. See you later.
Night.
Love you, too.
Good night, everybody.
Night.